of heights to the depths of the sea.
See, we don't ever cast out truth, because the very basis of God's judgment is truth. He is the one who judges ultimately and finally and conclusively, but you and I are supposed to be able to look on something and say, that's not right. In fact, that's an abomination, and it is.
Every creature's unique in the song that it sings, all exclaiming, indescribable, uncontainable. You place the stars in the sky and you know them by name. You are amazing, God. All powerful, untamable, awestruck we fall to our knees as we humbly proclaim, you are amazing, God.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you for joining us. You're listening to Truth in Christ Radio, a Bible teaching radio ministry of Calvary Chapel of Rochester with senior pastor and teacher, Rob Kellogg. Jesus did not prohibit the judgment of others. He only requires that our judgment be completely fair and that we only judge others by a standard we would also like to be judged by. When our judgment in regard to others is wrong, it is often not because we judge according to a standard, but because we are hypocritical in the application of that standard. We ignore the standard in our own life. It is common to judge others by one standard and ourselves by another standard, being far more generous to ourselves than others. Now let's join Pastor Rob with today's lesson.
But let's look at verse 1 here. This is an important chapter, and it's something very good for us to hear today. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you." And remember, we began looking at this last week, and this idea of judging is different than what the world thinks that it is, because when Jesus says, judge not, what he's basically saying is, don't come to a conclusion, don't come to a judgment or condemn or damn anyone. Wait. And you pray and just let the Lord deal with your heart. We're not qualified to condemn anyone to hell. God will do that in his own time. And that's his strange work. It's something that he doesn't delight to do. It's something that he doesn't want to do. He'd much rather that we were just obedient children, that we would just come to him and say, Lord, for all that you've done for me, I mean, think of it. I mean, when you think of somebody who has done something like Jesus has, he paid the price for the sin that I have done and the punishment that I deserved. And because he took that price for me, and he paid the price completely because he was God and is God in the flesh, he was the only one who could do it. He did it willingly. He went to the cross willingly. Nobody put a gun to his head. He loved you and I so much, God himself said, I will go to the cross because only I can fulfill my own righteous requirements. No man can fulfill his righteous requirements. Only God can do that. And if you've done that for me, Lord, and if you've saved my soul, and if I have a wonderful eternity waiting for me in your presence where there are pleasures and joys forevermore, then how much more should I give my life to him? This small little 70, 80, 90 years, or if you're really fortunate, 100 years, that small little speck of time for me to give my life for him for that amount of time in comparison to eternity, I think we're getting a good deal. We're getting a great deal. It's the best thing going. Why isn't this church and every other church in Rochester, in America, filled every morning? It breaks my heart to come down 5 Mile Line and to see very few cars on the road. And I thought to myself, what a horrible thing that has happened. Man is so content on going to work and making his money and being fat and happy and having everything in the bank and everything, all their ducks in a row, or at least they think they do. And they don't give a second thought about eternity. They don't give a second thought about what happens to me when I die. And we don't know when that time is coming. I may not even be here tomorrow. I have no idea what God's plan is in that regard. I just don't know. But ought I not then to Considering all that he has done for me, ought I not to give everything to him? My heart, my life. Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Even whatever age you're at right now, surrender everything right now. And again, this is not, I'm not just talking about money or anything like that, okay? I'm talking, because you can keep your money. You do what God wants you to do with that, but give your life. What can I do for you today, God? What can I do for you? I'm just sitting in these four walls. What can I do? I want to serve you. Hey, he's got a plan. Are you searching for it? Are you willing to step out in faith and try something? You've got nothing to lose but everything to gain. I've often found that the things that I decided, you know what, I'm sick of just sitting around, and finally I get up and I just start something. God can steer the ship once it's moving. Fear not. Don't be afraid about, well, I'm not going to be in the center of his will. No, pray, but then there's a time where you just have to say, you know what, I'm going to serve in this capacity. I'm going to see what I can do. See if the Lord is in it. It's a venture of faith. I'll try it. And then as you get moving, isn't it true that once a ship is moving, it's easy for him to steer you? But if you're just stationary, nobody's moving. He can't steer you. And he's not upset with you trying something new, trying something, taking a venture of faith. That's what this whole movement was about. This Calvary Chapel of movement was a venture in faith from the very beginning. And it still is. But we don't have the right, and we don't have the qualifications to judge anyone. But this doesn't mean that if you are an unbeliever, that this is a way for you to escape the judgment. In other words, judge not and you will not be judged. When you, as an unbeliever, you may say, well, I don't judge anybody, so therefore, God, you can't judge me. Ah, that's not the way it works. No, if you don't come to Christ, you will be judged. You will be judged. But this scripture has been misunderstood so much. And it doesn't mean that we shouldn't judge actions, whether they are good or evil or right or wrong. We know what is right and wrong. We make judgments every day, not only concerning our actions, but discerning the actions of others. And God has given us a conscience, hasn't he? Romans 1 tells us that he gave us a conscience. We know what's right and what's wrong. We know what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. And doing what is right is never easy. Have you ever noticed that? Doing what is wrong comes to me like a fish to water. It comes so naturally. Oh, it feels so good. I slide into it like a turkey that's been basted with oil and just sliding into the pan and into the oven. You know, Thanksgiving's coming up, so I had to use that. It is. I just slide right into it. Sin is like that. You just slide right into it. It's so comfortable initially, and it's like, oh, everybody's doing it. And the next thing you know, you're just like, oh, and then, oh, no. But doing the right thing is always the harder thing to do. It goes against the grain. You are like that little minnow. And I've used this illustration before. You are that little minnow that's about that long going upstream in a torrent of water that's coming this direction. You're the little guy just trying to make every fin push a little, and you're just trying your hardest just to make a centimeter of progress. And everything coming on the opposite direction is schools, hundreds of thousands, millions of great white sharks, 22 feet long, coming your direction. That's what it's like sometimes being a Christian. Your life is supposed to go against the grain. If you find yourself really comfortable in everything you're doing, you better be careful. Because if you love the world and the things that are in the world, you'd better be very careful. And that's why Jesus gave this Sermon on the Mount. We're to act completely different from the world. The world has its own system. The world acts its own way. But God has called you and I to act and think differently. And we can't do this apart from the Spirit of God indwelling us, can we? I can't do it. I've tried to do it in my flesh, and I was a miserable wretch. Can anybody agree to that? Have you tried to serve God in the flesh? Try to maintain some kind of righteousness of your own so that God will accept you? Oh my goodness. What a task that is. But to just rest in his arms and let him do it. It's really much simpler, folks, than what we like to think of it. We work so hard. And God, I think, sometimes wants to just say to us, my children, just relax. I found that as time goes on, I can relax a lot more and just rest in him and his goodness and his providence. Everything that he does, I can just rest in him. I don't need to fight. I don't need to stress. I don't need to think, well, am I good enough? Am I good enough? God's going, listen, didn't I take up residence in your heart? Didn't I promise you? Haven't I promised you? Haven't I made precious, great and precious promises to you? That my spirit would indwell you, that I would come for you again, that where I am, you might also be. Haven't I made those wonderful promises to you that I'm going to return in a twinkling of an eye? I'm going to change your mortal body and make it immortal in a twinkling of an eye? Didn't I tell you that I'm going to snatch you up off the earth, that you'd be with me forever, and then you'd come back with me in the millennial reign? Didn't I tell you all these things, that I've got a plan and a purpose for your life, even now, regardless of your circumstances? And he does. But God has given us a conscience. It's okay to size things up. We know it's wrong to steal. We know it's wrong to murder. So we are able to judge these actions in a sense, but so that can't be what this verse really means, because typically when you bring a sin issue or something that is not right to someone's attention, you may hit a nerve in them and they will say something like, "Don't judge me, brother." Have you heard that? I have. But that is not you judging them. That's just you pointing out what is not right. It's you pointing out what is not right. Are family-friendly drag queen shows, are we able to judge that and say that's a sin? Yes, because it is. See, we don't ever cast out truth, because the very basis of God's judgment is truth. He is the one who judges ultimately and finally and conclusively, but you and I are supposed to be able to look on something and say, that's not right. In fact, that's an abomination, and it is. So judging them is passing sentence upon them and condemning them, but that's not something that we're to do. We're not to be harsh and critical, but being truthful is always good. So be sure we know what the biblical meaning of this word really is, because the world doesn't know what it means. And oftentimes, you know, they use this and they say that phrase, "Don't judge me," when they're convicted of their behavior or even their motive. And oftentimes you don't have to do anything at all. Have you ever been in the presence of somebody as a Christian and they start swearing up a storm, and then they remember all of a sudden you didn't say or do anything, and they're like, "Oh, you know, excuse me, sorry, pardon my French." What does the French have to do with it? This poor people group have always been the brunt of this thing. You know, excuse my French. Well, and then they say, "Forgive me," you know, or "I'm sorry." And you know what that is? That's the Spirit of God in you. They know what they know they got a mouth that's so filthy, they should just walk around with a bar of Dove soap and just stick it in their mouth and start cleaning. Of course, that's silly. When I was younger, my mother, I swore like a sailor when I was a little boy. And I remember one time, and this cured me to some extent. You know Irish Spring? I was such a filthy little rotten scoundrel. My mother, she took that bar of soap, and thank God for my mom. Mom, if you're watching, I love you. She would take that bar of soap, and she'd stick it in my mouth, and she'd push my jaw up on it, and then she'd pull it out. And I'd have these shavings all in my mouth. And then I'm trying to get it out, but the flavor, it never goes away. For years, you've got it in places in your mouth that you don't even know was there. You can't brush your teeth. You can gargle with gasoline. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't encourage doing that, by the way. But a rotten mouth. Somebody says, "Oh, sorry, that's the Holy Spirit in you that's bringing conviction upon them." Or they'll say something really nasty or questionable, and then immediately afterwards say, "Hey, don't judge me," when you haven't even opened your mouth. You haven't even opened your mouth. And yet the Spirit of God does that. But what does it say in John? Jesus said, For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn. And the word here is the same word for judge. It's krino. It's the same exact word. God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned or judged, but he who does not believe is condemned, is judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And that's the judgment, is not believing in Christ. But we cannot and should not condemn anyone. I'm not qualified. God's the only one that can do that. Jesus even said, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. In John chapter 12, Jesus says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believes on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hears my words and believes not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him, and that is the word that I have already spoken. The same shall judge him in the last day. And see, we don't even have all the information on any given thing to be able to pass judgment or ultimately to condemn anyone. And we need to be careful about even judging people's motives. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels. This is what is meant by motive. God will reveal those motives of the heart in the day of his judgment. Then each man's praise will come from God. And what does it tell us? John, Jesus again says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. I don't have righteous judgment all the time. The only righteous judgment I have is to be able to call what the Bible says is a sin, a sin. Don't be afraid to call sin a sin. That's not judging. That's being truthful. But be first to acknowledge it in your own heart before you start going out skewering people. Be first to acknowledge, to look at the man in the mirror. God speaking to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16, he says, the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And yet, God tells us that we can know a person by their fruits. Notice what it says in Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, Jesus says. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Well, if that is the case, then I'm judging, right? No, you're just acknowledging what's there. Do you see? We walk around with this stigma thinking, oh, I can't have any judgment at all. I can't judge. I can't say that this is a sin. I can't say that the drag queen story hour is a bad thing. No, you can say that because God will say that too. It's an abomination. Yes, it's on my heart today, as you can tell. But it is. It's the most wicked thing, and yet they're doing this stuff. Vote them all out. All the school officials, vote them all out. And do it as quickly as possible, because these kids are going through this nonsense. And folks, it's up to you and I. Spread the word. Don't be quiet anymore about it. Because let me tell you, it is a war. There is a war, and it's on right now. And God doesn't call us to go out with machetes and machine guns. But you better get out there with your word and get out there on your feet. We have to do it. We have to do it. And be vocal about it. Because believe me, God is vocal about it. If Jesus were here, he would be condemning that action. But God's grace is such, he's even giving them an opportunity to repent of their sin. And that's exactly what it is. It is a sin. Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? The obvious answer is no. Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and it's thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. We are not being judgmental when we notice the way a person acts or how they do things. We are noticing the reality of what's happening inside and what kind of person they are. But we can't judge them eternally and condemn them. No, they have an opportunity to receive Christ. They do. Now, the way in which we talk to them is important. We got to do it with candor and with love and with grace, and let them tell you that you're judging them. You're not judging them. You're just trying to help them. And hopefully they'll be doing the same to you. Because if Jesus were alive today, he would be crucified again in Washington, D.C. He'd be canceled on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. They would even shut down his PayPal account, and the FBI would raid his house. And we laugh, but that's what's happening in our world, in our country, in our republic. It's become a socialist, communist regime. We're fighting that today, and that's why your vote counts. But God, who is truth, is ultimately the only one who can judge with perfect knowledge. And when he judges, he is spot on. And what does it tell us in Romans chapter 2? That there's a day coming when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That day is coming for the ungodly and those who reject Christ. When is this day? The Bible tells us, and we looked at this, and we've been looking at this. It's the great white throne judgment at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ. Everyone at that judgment will be condemned. They will be judged in the lake of fire forever and ever. That burns forever and ever. It is not a place where your friends are, where they're having a big party and everybody's excited. No, this is a place where people are burning forever, and they will never, ever cease. Is that a deterrent to run to Christ? That alone is what got me into the kingdom. Someone told me that if I didn't turn from my sin, I was going to burn in hell. And you know what? It's true. Don't ever remove the teeth from the gospel. We mustn't ever do that. I need a Savior because I need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the punishment that I deserve because of my debauchery, because of my sin. I need someone to save me, and there's only one who can save me, Jesus. Has he saved you? Are you in the process of being saved? Is God working on your heart? Is he making you go, oh my goodness, I just so want to jump over this Rubicon and be yours, Lord. Well, jump. Don't wait. You don't have tomorrow. Do not wait. Today is the day of salvation, folks. Not tomorrow. Today is the day. But the great white throne judgment, yes, that's the ultimate judgment, where the books will be opened, that death and Hades will be delivered up. Yes, when you die right now, if you're not a believer in Christ, you go to a place called Hades or hell. If you die today and you're in Jesus, you go to heaven. And there's coming a day where everybody who is in Hades is finally going to be delivered up unto the great white throne judgment, and they will be judged, and then they will be sent into outer darkness in the lake of fire forever and ever. That's what the Bible says, folks, and that's the truth. Nobody likes to acknowledge that, but that is the truth, and I'll stand on that for the rest of my life. I wish it were different, but God's ways are good. And he loves people. He loves you and I. For with what judgment, verse 2, you judge, it will be judged. And with what measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This doesn't mean that there should not be judges in the courtroom or laws on the books. These things are good and they're right in a civilized society. We need these kind of things. Magistrates, authorities, and law enforcement, they are all there for that purpose. Romans 13 tells us, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that be are ordered by God. They're ordained by God. He's put them there, whether we like it or not. And many of them are doing wicked things, and they will answer for that. But they should be doing the right thing. And God encourages us to obey them, especially when they're telling us to do the right thing. But the day when they come to us and say, you can only have two children, and if you get pregnant, you have to abort that child, then you can say, well, am I going to serve God and listen to God, or am I going to listen to you? For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with what measure you use, it will be measured back.
That's the end of our study for today. But please join us next time as Pastor Rob continues in the Gospel of Matthew. Calvary Chapel of Rochester is located at 2503 Browncroft Boulevard, Rochester, New York, 14625. You can reach us at our church office between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m., Monday through Friday, at area code 585-586-3140. If you would like to have an audio CD of today's message mailed to you in its unedited form, simply mention today's date when contacting our church office. You can also contact us via the web by logging on to www.calvaryrochester.com. There you will be able to access a number of useful things, such as information concerning our beliefs, our ministries, contact information, our location, service times, and much more. You can also download or listen to the radio and sanctuary messages free of charge from the teachings link at the top of the page. To listen to Calvary Chapel of Rochester sanctuary messages or Truth in Christ Radio on your mobile device, just subscribe to both through Google Podcast or Apple Podcast. You're also invited to join us on Sunday and Thursdays through live streaming of our services and Bible studies. Just click on the online services link on the website. We're so glad that you could join us today. And if there is any way that we can bless you with your walk with Jesus Christ, please don't hesitate to call our church office. Remember, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And for this cause, I have come into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." May God bless you in abundance today as you walk with Him. And until next time, this has been Truth in Christ.